Hey, Whitey.
Yes.
Did you know that the English Cricket Board, or the English and Wales Cricket Board, the ECB, has received a £400 million equity approach for 75% of the 100?
Yes.
£400 million for 75% of the 100 competition to take it away from the national body, effectively, and be a privately run competition. What's your take on that?
Look, I'm worried full stop about where this is all heading. I could see in 5 years' time the IPL running 4 or 5 months, similar to an AFL season or an NRL season. I could see the 100 then rolling off the back of that for a long period of time, and the money being so significant that it will seduce a lot of players out of international cricket into that sort of cricket.
Mm.
So that worries me, and I think as soon as the cricket boards lose control of that product, then it puts into jeopardy Test cricket, One Day international cricket, the traditional way we're used to consuming cricket.
Well, they haven't accepted it.
No, they haven't.
But they've had the offer across the table, and it'd be tough to knock back, I reckon, for some of those boards.
Yes, and there's been that suggestion here in Australia that the BBL teams should be privately owned because they can put more money in, which means the players get more money and you might get better players coming in. But again, not only do you lose control, but it's a cash cow for Cricket Australia to then feed money everywhere, the Big Bash, because it's its own product. And when it was started, there was a thought of, do you team up with New Zealand? Do you team up with South Africa and make it like the Super Rugby competition? But then they'd have to share the money. That's why Cricket Australia were really keen that the BBL was its, and it was going to make as much money off it as possible.
Let's find out what Mark Waugh thinks about that and a whole lot more, because we're playing Test cricket tomorrow, did you know? We're in Perth, and Fox Cricket will be all over that, and Junior, a big part of that team, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys.
What about that conversation about franchise cricket and private ownership and what it could do to the international game? The ECB getting a big offer for 75% of the 100 to take charge of it. Whitey's fears for the IPL taking over most of the calendar. Do you have similar sort of worries?
Yeah, I think so. Without delving too deep into it, I think it's a concern. All these franchises and pop-up competitions around the world, because the money's going to be very big in these competitions, and it's going to force probably older players to retire earlier from international cricket and Test cricket, and a lot of the young guys coming through might just focus on playing short form cricket rather than playing Test match cricket. And also from a viewing point of view, there's only so much cricket you can watch a year. So, it does take away the focus, on the big stuff like Test match cricket. So I think it's a bit of a worry. I think you've got to get a balance somewhere in between what's going on now and what may happen in the future.
So from your circle of friends and networks within first-class cricket, is the international game, as a long-form game, still revered as it was, or is that starting to turn towards the sort of the short-form, more cash model?
I think in Australia it's certainly it's revered. It's still the game to play Test match cricket and red ball cricket. I think other countries around the world where they don't get paid as well by their boards, I think it's a real worry for, some of the, like the West Indies, for example. I mean, we've seen the decline in their red ball cricket or their cricket generally. They lose a lot of players to these franchise competitions. So I think within Australia it's fine, and maybe England, it's holding pretty well. But even New Zealand, a guy like Trent Boult, his Test match cricket's come to a bit of an end, I think, because he wants to earn a lot of money in this franchise cricket. So it's a bit of a worry, the balance of power where it lies at the moment.
Interesting conversation, I reckon, Adam.
Yes, very much so. Now, when you were playing Test cricket, Mark, and the whole build-up to the Test match was about a green monster, and it's going to bounce and seam, and it's going to be impossible for batsmen, how much did you read into it? And even when you went and had a look at the pitch for the first time a few days out from the Test, how often did you get worried and think, oh, this is going to be difficult?
To be honest, you know the pitches pretty well in Australia. When I played, you pretty much got served up the same sort of pitches in each state every season, so there wasn't a big difference. I guess with the drop-ins, it's a little bit different now how they're prepared, but pitches change. They can change a lot from 2 days out or 3 days out to actually when you get out there in the morning in the game, it can change a lot. The groundsmen, normally shave the grass down, and even the weather conditions. If you get a bright sunny day, it's amazing how much different it looks to when it's a cloudy sort of overcast day. The pitch looks completely different. So I wouldn't read too much into a pitch a couple of days out. The only time I'd worry about it's when you walk it there in the morning and have a look at it before the start of play. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fast, bouncy pitch. I think it's going to be hard work for the batsmen in both sides, particularly the West Indies, who wouldn't be used to playing in these circumstances. The pitches in the West Indies are pretty flat these days and not a lot of pace and bounce.
Yeah, absolutely. So you played at the Wacker when it was arguably at its most bouncy. Is it a venue that you enjoyed playing because of the pace and bounce and the cricket happened really quickly, or was it one where you had to be a little extra careful?
Well, you had to be a little extra careful. I remember when I first played for New South Wales, we were hopeless when we went over to WA. We'd get over there a couple of days earlier and prepare, then we'd get knocked over for 150 in the first session. It does take a bit of getting used to, but I actually really enjoyed playing at the Wacker. And to be honest, it served up some different surfaces. I remember, you know, one year we played the West Indies. It was fast and bouncy and suited Ambrose. And the next time we played them, the cracks were, you know, you could put your bat in the cracks. The pitch cracked up so badly. Then you get your true batting surfaces where the ball just slides under the bat beautifully, and you can hit the ball to, you know, all parts of the ground. So I think there's always a bit there for everybody. But I think it's so exciting, you know, watching the ball fly through at pace. You know, the keeper and the slips are in play if you get an edge, and you know, you've got to have a bit of mental toughness about you if you're a batsman. So I actually think it's a true test of a batsman's ability when you're playing on these fast, bouncy pitches.
Well, the curator decided he's going to leave the 10 millimetres of grass on the Perth Stadium circuit, he tells us, for day one. It's going to be 35 degrees as well for day one. Is that win and bat or win and bowl, because it's got going to do a bit?
Well, if I was Australia, well, I know it's going to be 35 degrees and bowlers don't like bowling in heat, but I think it's forecast that for 3 or 4 days, so probably not going to get any cooler as the game goes on, but I'd be very tempted to send the West Indies in the bat if I was Australia. You know, I think their batting is suspect at best. You know, I think they've got some decent players who will occupy the crease, but, you know, you look at the calibre of our bowling and their batting, I'd be tempted to bowl first and try and knock the West Indies over, especially if there's a lot of grass on it. Although, having said that, normally when there's a bit of grass on it, it tends to be a bit slower on the first day. And sometimes it's harder to bat on the second day where the pitch has hardened up and there's a few little craters on the pitch as well from the first day. So I think the West Indies would probably bowl first. You know, I think if they won the toss, they would bowl first. I think their strength is their bowling. They probably want to see how the pitch plays from their batting point of view. So it may be a Clayton's toss, but Australia would be very tempted to bowl first if they won.
So what do we expect from this West Indies squad? How competitive should they be through this series?
Look, I'm hoping, like everybody, they'll be competitive, but I fear not. I think Australia will be too good. That, you know, the West Indies batting just doesn't look capable enough of putting any pressure on our bowling. They've got a few guys who will occupy the crease, like Brathwaite, their captain, a few other players there. But their bowling is their strength. I think our batsmen will have to work fairly hard for their runs, because, you know, I like the look of this West Indies bowling attack with Roach and Alzari Joseph, Jason Holder, Jaden Seals. They've got no spinner, so that's not going to help the West Indies, but their pace attack looks their only strength to my eye. But if Australia play to their full potential, you know, we'll expect this game, I don't think it'll last anywhere near 5 days. You know, it could be a 3 or 4 day test if Australia play to their potential.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to put things into perspective. Half, they're $1.12 Australia, $1.10.
Yeah, well, that's a good price. That's a good price. I reckon if you've got 10 houses, put them on. You'll have 12 by the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, you touch on, Mark, that, I mean, Joseph particularly, I think he's a pretty exciting player. I mean, they've got to find a way to get bowling on the first day, and they might skittle Australia for 150. But the problem is the West Indies have still got to get 150, and Australia still get a chance to bat again.
Yeah, look, I just think you want to see a competitive series. You know, you don't want to see the West Indies blown off the park, because it's not good for world cricket. You know, one of the powerhouses of world cricket to be beaten and beaten badly. The T20 World Cup was a complete disaster for the West Indies, and that's probably their strong point. So, you know, from a West Indies point of view and a world cricket point of view, you want to see a competitive series. So, look, you never know. We've seen lots of upsets in the soccer, so maybe we'll see one in the cricket, but I can't see it. But let's hope the West Indies put their best foot forward and give us a bit of competition.
Well, I hope not for your 10 houses. If you don't see an upset, we don't want to be seeing that.
I'm not saying, you know, they're not going to win. I'm not going to lose, but, you know, I think We all want to see a competitive brand of cricket from both sides.
Yes, no doubt about that. What about the role and the impact Pat Cummins needs to have on this series? There's been a lot of talk about Patrick in the last couple of months. Does he need to come out and do anything special this test match?
Oh, no, I don't think so. I mean, his captaincy's been pretty successful since he's taken over, you know, apart from the what happened in the World Cup, but the T20 World Cup. But he's captained the test series pretty well. I mean, they won 4-0 last year against England, and they won in Pakistan. Sri Lanka, a bit of a hiccup, so I don't think he'll be thinking too much about that. You know, I think he'll just keep it simple and go day by day. But I think he's got a very good team underneath him. Pat Cummins is, it's a pretty good cricket side. So a lot would have to go wrong for Australia to lose this series and start the summer in a poor way. So no, I think it'll just be business as usual for Pat and the team as well.
And what about the crowd factor? I mean, who's watching on Fox Cricket? I'll be certainly watching on Fox Cricket, watching you do all your business. But what about the crowd factor? There's Whitey was telling us about 6,000 tickets sold at this stage. They're hoping for about 15 a day. Is there a bit of a cricket hangover, or are we starting too early, or is there a Justin Langer effect for WA fans? What's the go, you reckon?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, it's a strange day to start a Wednesday. I would have thought it mightn't get to the weekend. That's going to be a problem. I think I would have been starting on a Thursday. So, look, I don't think the West Indies are a big draw card at this stage. You know, there's not a lot of players there that would draw people through the gates. The Australians, they've got a very good side. Look, I suspect the crowds are not going to be big unless you get to the weekend. So wait and see. Look, you never know. I'd say the crowds would be on the poor side for this series, but they'll definitely amp up for South Africa, I think. Yeah, so South Africa, there will be some decent crowds floating around.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to a big summer of cricket. It does kick off tomorrow. Catch all the action from a test match perspective, anyone, Fox Cricket. Tomorrow, check your local guides on that. And before we let you go, we need to give you a bit of a pump up, because the first text we got yesterday was giving you an absolute virtual high five for tipping us into that $10 winner on the weekend, just by the way. We thank you
Wonga
for that.
Wonga Wonder.
Wonga Wonder.
Yeah, but what about Sweet Ruby on Friday?
We didn't want to mention that.
That was a killer. But another stride, she wins $16 or whatever it was.
Not to be. A couple of runners at Gosford tomorrow, maybe?
Sydney and Always In both in the same race. Now, Always In has trialled exceptionally well. If she runs, she's drawn barrier 14, so she might not run. But if she runs, watch out for her flashing home late. And the other horse is pretty honest. And then we'll have runners Friday, maybe Mudgee Cup Day. We might send one out to Mudgee for the cup out there, and then Saturday at Rose Hill. We'll have a few runners there too, and to look out for as well. So just not sure yet. So I can't lead you into one of them. But watch out for Always Innocent runs tomorrow at Gosford.
Right, Always Innocent tomorrow at Gosford for the War Stable. Good on you, mate. Nice to chat. Enjoy Perth. Right. We'll be watching on the box.
Okay, thank you. Bye.